You're listening to SBS News.
If you imagine a colleague at work, and let's say their dog died, for example.
This is Leanne Butterworth. She calls herself a chief empath, and she's using a hypothetical scenario to explain empathy's three main components.
Emotional empathy is they're upset, you get upset as well. You go into that emotional place with them. Cognitive empathy, on the other hand, is you thinking, well, my dog died as well. So I know what you're going through. I know your experience, and you should just get another dog because that's what helped me. So it's not listening to the emotion. It's trying to understand and figure out what someone's going through without truly listening.
Ms. Butterworth's face lights up when she describes the third component, compassionate empathy.
What that is the ability to share and understand the feelings of another person and respond appropriately. So you've heard what they said, you understand that they're feeling upset. So you might say something like, oh, that sounds awful. Do you want to talk about it? Let's go for a walk.
Ms. Butterworth says empathy is really about a willingness to listen and make people feel heard. It's something Dr. Zach Seidler's recently been confronted with. He's a clinical psychologist specializing in men's mental health, and he's been receiving a lot of emails from parents concerned for their sons.
And the fear that they are in some ways going to be whitewashed by what is a huge cultural movement at the moment towards understanding the depths of men's behaviour in many instances, and also trying to come to terms with the wave of, you know, sexual predatory behaviour that's going on.
Their concerns have been triggered by a wave of news stories revealing or alleging misconduct by politicians and poor workplace culture in Australia's parliaments. Dr. Seidler says he tries to be empathetic when he responds to these concerns.
It doesn't really make sense to further isolate them, to shame them, to make them feel foolish or wrong, because that's kind of their problem with this whole argument, is that they feel like their sons are being left out or thrown to the wolves, as they say. So I try my best to try to understand where they're coming from while providing some re-education of sorts.
Dr. Seidler says this approach is usually received well. Most of the parents he responds to end up thanking him for his time and helping them imagine what it's like to be in the shoes of the victims at the centre of those stories. So can people actually learn to be more empathetic? Ms. Butterworth says she knows they can.
Absolutely. People can learn to be empathetic and communicate with empathy when they are open to it, when they are ready to self-reflect and do the work.
Coalition MP Andrew Lemming was recently ordered by the Prime Minister to do a private course on empathy, telling him that he wanted to see a behaviour change. Newly appointed Minister for Women's Economic Security, Senator Jane Hume, told Brisbane radio station 4BC she supports the decision to send Dr. Lemming to empathy training.
Do you know what? If we have to do it, you know, one fella at a time, so be it.
Yeah.
But it's really important that we do that rather than just dismiss the problem out of hand and say you're not welcome here.
But when presenter Deborah Knight asked Ms. Hume what empathy training was, this was her response.
Well, look, I don't even know what empathy training could possibly
involve. Nor do
involve.
I'm
not sure. I haven't had to have empathy training.
Someone who can explain what empathy training involves is Ms. Butterworth, as she is the founder of Empathy First. She says people come to her thinking they're coming to learn about other people, and how she begins her empathy training throws them off guard.
So there's a very a vulnerable experience that we go through. And then I say to people, tell someone what that was. And a lot of people go, I don't have the words. I don't know how to express it. And I say to the person listening, what did you want to say? And they all say, oh, I just wanted to make it better. And so the first person, is that what you needed? They go, no, I didn't want a pamphlet. I didn't want to be told it would all be okay. I wanted to be heard.
At the end of the session, Ms. Butterworth says she evaluates her clients through their use and understanding of empathetic and non-empathetic language. Then, after a few months, she conducts a similar evaluation, this time also asking for an example of an empathetic conversation they've had since. Here's one of her clients' examples.
One lady said that one of her colleagues was quite distressed and said that she wanted to end her own life. And she said, my reaction originally would have been to rush her to the ER in panic mode. But instead, I sat with her and I was that safe space and I gave her that opportunity to tell me her story. And when she was ready, we hugged, we cried. And when she was ready, we got her the help that she needed. And to me, that's mind-blowing. To me, that reinforces that what we do works 100%.
So will Dr. Lamming's 1 month of paid medical leave to train in empathy really make a difference? New South Wales human resource management expert Dr. Sue Williamson says she's not convinced.
We know that these sorts of training courses don't work. When people are required to undertake mandatory training, they can view it as a punishment. People who are forced to undertake training get very resistant, and that resistance can manifest in backlash.
Ms. Williamson says the prescription of empathy training makes an organisation look like they're doing something without actually addressing the problem.
Why isn't he going to learn about non-violence training and anti-bullying behaviour? So to me, it seems to be more about bullying rather than about a lack of empathy. And of course, they go together, but bullying is a much stronger charge to lay against someone.
While Ms. Butterworth believes anyone can learn to be more empathetic, she actually doesn't think it's going to work for Mr. Lamming either.
Oh, look, I was actually really disappointed to see that empathy training was being used as a band-aid. Training's really only successful when people want to be in the room, when they want to make change, when they're interested in their fellow human beings and they want to self-reflect and they're ready to do the work.
In any organisation, if someone has acted in an immoral or illegal way, Ms. Butterworth says this should be the first step of action. Nadine Silva, SBS News.